what I call warfare.
Right. Okay, thank you. Ray wanted to speak.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, I believe that the spirit of the settlement was to get this situation resolved and move in a new direction as seen through the views of the majority. I believe I personally voted for Dan Clough, not only because of his abilities, but because of his judgment. It is very clear, without prejudging the cases, that part of the crisis that we're facing and the controversies involve the station managers, and I think we have to give the executive director the powers to move swiftly and reasonably and act upon it and get us on track. And I suggest very strongly that we vote against this motion.
Might I just take the privilege of the chair to suggest that part of the rebuilding of this foundation is that we make decisions that follow the processes that we have in the foundation. So that if people need to be reviewed in their job performance, then that review process happens. That there not be arbitrary firings. That there be a process. That there be reasons, clearly stated reasons, that we have processes in place that need to be followed and suggested. And that would be the guidance or the direction that we would give any of our staff, any of our management people, that they must follow those processes. I had suggested again, I had ruled that we had one speaker for and one against. I'd like to call the question and move to the vote. The motion was that the acting executive director not do any firings of station managers without the approval of the full board. Right? That's the motion.
Yes.
Okay. So
could you repeat that? I'm sorry, I'm distracted.
The motion is
support.
Can everybody listen?
Yes.
Excuse me. Can we have everybody's attention on the board, please? The motion is that the acting executive director not do any firings of station managers without the approval of the board of the of this board of the full board, the board. Okay, we called the question. I'm taking the vote. All those in favor? Right, I mean, who support that? Right, Teresa Allen.
No, Madam Chair.
George Barnstone.
Yes.
Can you please repeat that?
Yes. The motion is that the executive director not take any action to fire station managers before getting the approval of this board.
No.
No, from George Barnstone. Marion Barry.
Yes.
Pete Preston.
No.
Janice K. Bryan.
No.
James Ferguson.
Yes.
David Furtick.
No.
Ray LaForest.
No.
Bert Lee. Rob Robinson?
No.
Count Spooner?
No.
Jabari Zakia?
No.
And Leslie Kagan? No.
So motion by Marion Barry is defeated 10 to 3.
Okay, well,
the executive director does have the power to fire a station manager during his 60-day temporary appointment.
We can make a follow-up motion. Perhaps it would clarify what we're trying to achieve if the board committed itself at this point to undergoing the process of evaluations ASAP. So if we have evaluations of staff, that would make it difficult for anyone to take action that was not in accordance with the personnel review.
Make your motion, Bob. What is
can you just state the motion?
I'm moving that the board immediately proceed with the process of conducting the personnel evaluations of the station managers, which hasn't been undertaken, as far as I know, for several years.
I don't believe that's in the purview of the board to do the evaluations. I don't believe that.
We review the evaluations.
Okay.
Wait a minute, how do you do that,
is anybody seconding the motion?
He asked the
You're listening to a special live broadcast of the Inter-Pacifica National Board from New York. You're listening to it on at least three Pacifica stations, KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, KPFT in Houston, and WBAI in New York. I'm Larry Bensky, anchoring this from California. As soon as we have a break, we'll be opening our phones for questions and comments from you, the listeners.
And this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Hello, folks. We're going to go back to this third and final day of the Pacifica National Board meeting here in New York City.
Yes. And
this review, how is this conducted? Do we have to wait until the next board meeting? Would we do it on the telephone? I just don't know how this would
happen. No, I don't believe the motion calls for us to do the review. It's directing the executive director, the acting executive director, to set up the process to do the evaluations to be brought to the recommendations on the, I assume. But Rob, what happens after the evaluations are done? Is that part of your motion?
No. The process is a standard part. Everybody here that works in a job gets evaluated by their supervisor. You know, there are usually written criteria.
Yes,
there's a meeting. The evaluation is put in writing, and then it's reviewed with the second-level supervisor and the employees. So it's simply putting a process in place whereby we go about the business of asking the executive director to conduct those evaluations and review them with us. That way we will be able to have input and consultation with the executive director. It doesn't presume any action. It simply provides that the individuals, the station managers, have a performance review.
And my question is, when you said he would review this with us, I'm asking how would this happen? Physically, that's all I mean.
Oh, it would be a person, an in-person discussion with written documentation of how the reviews came out.
So that means it wouldn't happen until the next board meeting?
Yeah.
I mean, it would have to happen after it gets done.
Rob,
I mean, whether it's a special meeting
here
or the next board meeting, it has to get done.
My understanding is that we have in place a policy about how station management is to be reviewed. I don't believe we need a motion on this question. We have in place a policy for this, and that we should function with the policies that we have in place. I would ask Rob to consider withdrawing the motion.
Madam Chair, there's some confusion
in this
member because... For someone to evaluate, if a new executive director comes in, for him to evaluate, him or her to evaluate, there needs to be some criteria, and we already have that in place. But there has to be a range of time to discuss. Are we talking about time prior to the executive director, at which point that executive director wouldn't have sufficient information to be able to evaluate?
Sorry.
It's James Ferguson.
I would propose this as a friendly alteration. The
Jabari Zakia.
Let's just get real. There's people who are running stations who many people feel don't need to be there. We want the process to be open. We want the process to be deliberative. Rob is just stating that we are going to have an executive director as a normal function of the position of the executive director. They evaluate their downline subordinates. The immediate downline subordinates are the station managers. All he's saying is that we direct specifically that an evaluation process commence immediately upon the naming of this person, and I would propose that these evaluations be done and submitted in writing to the board by March 1st.
I would like to ask Rob to withdraw the motion. We have policies in place. We don't need to redo the policies.
I'm simply trying to see that there's fairness in the process.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to make the motion then.
Okay, Carol was next. And then, folks, again, there are. I know people have pressures to leave, to go travel home, and we have many other important agenda items. So, and I know this is critically important, but I would encourage us to not get stuck in this, and at a certain point, I will rule that we are unstuck in this agenda item and moving to the next. Carol?
I think as a member of
Carol
the board, that it's, I must say, distressing to hear someone has been prejudged as to their job performance. I'm very much in support of our new executive director evaluating, speaking with station managers, talking to them, evaluating, and telling us what he learns. But I certainly have not formed any opinion about... I was just distressed to hear that, and I wanted to go on record as saying that.
I didn't catch all your
My point, I'm sorry. I just...
Yeah, what's your point?
I don't... My, quiet. My point is that I have not. I was distressed to hear Jabari's comment that let's get real, somebody's got to go. To tell you the truth, I don't know. I want to have a fair and open evaluation of everybody in this organization.
I don't think he's said
just
that.
Same as you
okay.
do.
Okay, can we? I think there's no need to get into what Jabari said or didn't say. Right? Can we move on? I would really like to move this agenda. Okay. No, Jabari, I want to move the agenda. A new issue related to the executive director?
I thought we were still in the national staff and office.
Okay. Different issue related. Okay, different issue. Come on.
We need to consider filling the position of comptroller immediately. We have this offer for the donations to deal with the accounting firm. We need to have a comptroller working with that accounting firm on a day-to-day basis.
Friday night during the finance discussion, we did, as a sense of this body, say that we affirmed the need to immediately move to hire a comptroller. So that we've already dealt with that issue on Friday night.
Okay, person,
now
who
we
would
have,
do that?
Well, now we have an acting executive director who will begin that process.
And that person would do that?
Yeah.
That's their authority.
In consultation with Jabari?
Of course, yes. Right, the finance committee and the treasurer, absolutely.
Okay,
can we move on? The next agenda item is David Furtick had asked for consideration of some issues that he was asked to bring to us from Los Angeles that unfortunately we didn't get to yesterday.
Madam Chairperson, what issues are we talking about?
The issues that David, I mentioned this before when I reviewed the agenda, that there were several proposals that David, who comes from the LAB, in L.A., was asked to bring for our consideration. I think we should hear them and see which ones, if any, we can or should act on today and which can be tabled for another time. I don't know what they all are, so we just want to hear them first and see, because he didn't bring them out yesterday. I'm not blaming him, but can we just hear what they are and then see how we want to handle them?
Again, this is David Furtick from the KPFK signal area. Now, these are some relatively, I think, non-controversial, I believe there would be non-controversial motions that the local advisory board asked me to bring before the board. And based on the way things have been going, time's short, I'm going to try to abbreviate them and get those things through that I think are reasonably and good to get on the table. If we can get them, good. If not,
point of information, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
Point of information. Shouldn't that come under new business?
No, sir. If I might...
Excuse me.
I reviewed the agenda. I ran down the agenda before, and I said, when I reviewed the items that we were going to take this morning, I said that there were some motions, some issues that David wanted to raise from Los Angeles, and that this would come now in between the national staff and the report from Brian Gibbons. It would have been appropriate to suggest that then, but nobody did.
Madam Chair, what happens is it raises... We do have time scheduled. It raises... his issues above some of the other issues that are pending that we've had at least a week's notice for.
Might I ask David then if you would consider waiting until a little bit later in the agenda to bring these?
I would like to get these on the table. These were.
Put them on the table? Then we can decide whether to table them till later or not.
I really need to move forward with this.
Yes, point of information. Yes.
Yes,
the microphone. The microphone. Sorry.
All right.
Yes, of course.
The point of information is that are these issues that he is lifting or motions that he's going to make? Because you've said both.
I'm not sure. I want to hear
from him. No. That's quite important because, you know, I can't see how
this
we can consider motions unless this came under new business. He can say that there are issues he wants to raise. And I asked the parliamentarian, am I correct, sir?
Chair, I can short-circuit this whole process.
One second, David, sorry.
We should point out that the three remaining representatives of the old majority announced... We don't know with what certainty that they intend to contest this entire board meeting via a court motion tomorrow, saying it wasn't sufficiently noticed. So their tactics of
no debate about what
legalisms and parliamentary maneuvers here may be even raised to a different level should they follow through on their legal threat tomorrow.
Without narrative from David, right? Without explanation, these things hopefully are clear enough that we hear what they are. that we then quickly make a determination as to whether or not we're going to table them to later or to a next meeting or if they need action right now. We just want to hear. I'm not sure what they all are. We could just hear what they are. I'm not sure if they're issues, if they're resolutions. So we could just hear that. David, without...
I'm going to frame these not as motions, although I was asked by the local advisory board to bring them as motions. But I'm going to put them forth merely as principles and proposals from the local advisory board, insofar as the board determines that it's worthy to act upon, fine. Otherwise, I will provide the board in writing with the amended version of these statements as I'm about to read. But on January 9th, the KPFK local advisory board met and had actually a great meeting, hundreds of people, to direct Pacifica's executive director to provide KPFK staff and local advisory board a complete account of station finances, including outstanding bills and the status of funding and the availability for KPFK generally and specifically for the completion of the KPFK transmitter project, and as soon as possible to disperse these monies necessary for resumption of work on the KPFK transmitter project. Two, that the executive director, or interim executive director, provide each local advisory board with the information they'll need to continue to evaluate station services to listeners and move forward effectively to meet the lab's responsibilities and mandates. This information should include the Arbitron books and ratings for the past 3 years, station on-air guest logs, and all other documents which can be reasonably identified as necessary for the proper functioning of the local advisory boards. And this is for all the boards, not just KPFK, and which enable them to meet their responsibilities. Three, that a thorough review of the financial management of Pacifica and the goals of returning control to the stations of the finances, that the station programming generally be designed to reflect the demographic makeup of the signal area. And finally, that Pacifica encourages stations to immediately resume airing the community calendars, distribute regularly printed reports to listener sponsors, such as the KPFK folio. And finally, that that the stations be encouraged to air weekly reports to listeners with moderated and bipartisan participation for contested issues and telephone call-ins, including issues pertaining to the Pacifica mission.
Might I suggest that the issue of the transmitter in Los Angeles is obviously very, very critical. I believe Jabari and the financial leg of this organization understand the importance of that and have made that their priority to make sure that the money is available, as well as the other financial question that you raised, the financial audit, that is a priority. And that, might I suggest to David, that the other issues be tabled, either if we have time at the end of this meeting, you know, to take them up or postpone to
the Los Angeles
meeting.
Transmitter has been operating at approximately 0.25% of its authorized power, and thereby costing millions in potential audience to KPFK because Pacifica could not or would not pay the bills for its repair.
Yes.
Just one quick question on that. I know Zabar can't answer it completely, but does it appear as though there's money available for the transmitter?
I have already planned to budget from the $400,000 payment that we are supposed to get money to get that project started.
Thanks.
$400,000 is from an insurance company as part of the lawsuit.
Can we move on? I just want to review the rest of the agenda. Someone's there.
But with $3 million
due. We're going to from Brian Gibbons, who's the program, national program director.
We'll see how much of that.
And I believe there are several people from affiliate stations who are here with us this weekend. We just want to hear their concerns, not to take action this weekend, but just to hear those concerns so in the future we can be addressing them. There is also a proposal that a motion that I want to make on the status of Larry Bensky, a programmer out in Berkeley. And then there's several interim board business items, including setting the date and place of the next meeting. Pete?
Archives, I'd like to make sure we have archives.
Archives will put in that.
What about
that, your George's and the endorsement question goes in the interim board business, as does the follow-up to the other resolution that we passed
around the status of the motion about me, but I have no idea what it is. That. She didn't consult with me, and I have no idea what she's about to move, so this will be
another
great moment in broadcasting for Pacifica.
Old business. With regards to...
Your fate is deliberated on the air, and you don't even know what the parameters are.
Old executive director. I don't know if there were negotiations that were going on to close that out. Is that something that's still open?
Okay, let's take that up also in the board business section, the status of the previous. Okay, so Brian Gibbons, please, thank you.
Thanks to the chair and to the rest of the board. This will be a brief report to try to keep things on track. I did accept responsibility for the day-to-day operations of the National Programming Office on the 11th of December. My actual title remains Executive Producer of National Programming. And prior to December 11th, my responsibilities were principally budget and facilities management. And this report basically follows an outline that I received via both Leslie and Joanne Meredith. You've already received a copy of this, so you can follow along. Organizationally, the National Programming Office currently produces 12 and a half hours of regular weekly programming, including Democracy Now!, Pacifica Network News, and the Pacifica Report. National Programming Office currently has 15 full-time employees, and there's one vacant position, that is the Director of National Programming. Currently, there's 40 radio stations that hold affiliate status, 12 stations formally ended their affiliate status. The KU satellite operations currently uplinks 51 hours of regularly scheduled programming, including the Pacifica produced programming. So there's independent productions that also go up out of the air. A limited carriage report that I have, it's about only a 28% response rate, and a new questionnaire has gone out from KU interconnected stations indicate that Pacifica produced programs, as I mentioned before, like Democracy Now! And PNN, are downlinked most frequently by the stations. 80% of the reporting stations also receive programming from the NPR satellite. And where the choice exists, currently the reporting stations opt to downlink programs from the NPR satellite, especially for those non-Pacifica programs. MP3 downloading and CD mail distribution are other ways that people are taking programming. I mention those simply because there's new opportunities to look at with the operation of the organization as technologies develop and how to most cost effectively use both KU and other distribution methods. Under financial, the National Programming Office submitted its budget proposal for FY 2000 That was $1.62 million. The budget covers production of Democracy Now!, Pacifica Network News, KU satellite operations. Because the budgets haven't been approved, although I'm not exactly sure because of some of the other budget problems as to where exactly we stand. On the other hand, I do know that spending has been at a reduced rate because of the fact that there's some activities that just haven't gone on, travel less overnight, and also just some budget constraint on our own office. The National Programming Office began the fiscal year with negative account payable balances. Some vendors and stringers have payables that are more than 150 days overdue. Seven employees are owed reimbursement for expenses incurred to conduct work in a timely fashion. These expenses include the purchase of materials and services to keep the shop operating. Several of those invoices are also 150 days overdue. Current finances require the staff of Democracy Now! To accept a payment schedule to receive their back pay settlement. And all overtime has been suspended for the national programming staff. That's just a prudent budget sort of thing because, you know, the cost of staffing is one of the most controllable expenses. Current stringers have been informed by the National Programming Office, that's basically me, that we can't accrue any further financial liabilities. Stringers can anticipate that any outstanding payment owed may take over 180 days to pay from the date of submission. And that's just based, again, on my observation of performance. It could be accelerated. It could be greater. Relations with vendors are maintained basically through constant dialogue.
Excuse me, Brian, one second. Folks, it's kind of like a rumble in the room. If people could just be quiet, we need to hear this from Brian.
Okay. Infrastructure, which was the next item. There is digital editing capacity installed in Washington, D.C., expediting production and also reducing costs. A KU receiver has been delivered to Real Networks to expedite audio streaming of Pacifica programming. Real Networks' top three streamed programs are Democracy Now!, Democracy Now! In Exile, and Pacifica Network News. and a solid working relationship has been established with Real Networks where it previously did not exist. From talking to Eileen Quigley, who's the vice president for operations of Real Networks, it's basically because I return her phone calls and we keep in dialogue. So, you know, good business relationships are actually easy to maintain. Discussing the possibilities of new technology options with local IT contractors at the national office and interested listeners. I've been in touch with one listener supporter, Dan Jones, out of Houston, and we've talked a bit about how to use new technology that could expedite not only the daily operations but also board facilities and other sorts of things that would provide cost savings and get Pacifica where it should be in the sense of utilizing new technology in an effective fashion and be a leader in that. I did include some information on ratings because that was requested also, although it's dated material, so it's not current, but it's much more there just to give the board members an idea that of what audience measurement is possibly like. As I wrote here, the most recent audience measurements that I can provide were released in mid-July of 2001, and they cover a period from January 2001 to June of 2001. The audience measurement reports are voluminous and singularly inconclusive. Audience measurement, like any other research, is merely predictive and works best when it's conducted over a time and with consistent criteria. And I included for your review a page from a string report for each station. The demographics page gives a snapshot of who may be listening at the station at any time. And it covers an issue of loyalty, which I think is important to Pacifica simply because of our strong foundation just with listener supporters. The loyalty gives an idea of how listeners use each station, the premise being that greater listener loyalty implies greater listener utility. The greater utility can imply greater value, and the theory is that the listener enjoys a greater sense of value from the station, is more likely to contribute to it. And, of course, this is always influenced by other intangibles, and audience measurement is, at best, just a predictor of desired performance. It's not necessarily going to be a truism in every case. Having an idea, though, of the contribution potential of our listener supporters is critical, especially at this time. There'll be reports for that cover the fall and summer of 2000, which will be available in early February, but that's also pending a prompt payment of outstanding payables. And then there were two attachments, one with those audience reports, and then there were concerns and documents provided by the production staff of Pacifica Network News. I understand that those were discussed this morning, and just another correction from yesterday is that the contract that they work under covers all the programmers in the national unit, so it both covers the PNN folks in Washington and also the Democracy Now! Folks here in New York.
Okay, thank you. So are there any questions?
It's Brian Gibbons, who's acting national program director.
There are 15 employees in the...
Yeah.
Okay, that includes the 4DN people and yourself, the 4 Democracy Now!
Yeah.
People. What are the other positions just generally?
There's 3 engineers. There's 2 KU operators and then Joe Gill, who's the chief engineer. And there's a news director, and the rest are the editorial staff of PNN.
Okay. You mentioned something about independent productions. I didn't quite get it because it was in the beginning of your report. You were talking about...
The KU uplinks other programs. Besides just Pacifica-produced programs, there's programs that you can find on many of the stations that we uplink. A couple of examples would be like Alternative Radio or Between the Lines. There's a program Mambo, which is a parenting program. And these are picked up, I think, primarily actually by our affiliates. I'm not sure of what every station carries, but these are additional programs that Pacifica helps distribute to community radio stations. Pardon?
We pay something to do that?
Actually, there is an overhead cost for that.
And we don't use any stringers now?
Well, in essence, no. I mean, outside of people who might be willing to either accept a reduced payable, in some cases, some people have said they'll file or contribute without receiving payment because they believe in what's going on.
Okay, I just had one comment. I know you said you included a page of Arbitrons. To me, it's always good to see more than just one current Arbitron,
right,
so you can see the trend.
Right, exactly. And that was purpose. That wasn't to provide a snapshot. That was just to discuss one of the issues that I think as the board you have to be concerned with, which is how loyal folks are to the stations in the sense of an audience, because it can give you a good parameter of how well that we can actually fundraise. You know, because what you want, you'll always have a core audience, and you'll also have a fringe audience that tunes in too. At every radio station that Pacifica operates, it's about 25% of the audience is core, the other 75% is fringe. My suggestion is that for the local stations, especially for your fringe audiences, and these are people who don't make Pacifica their first choice in listening, want to make sure that what they are tuning into is something also that they're willing to contribute to. No matter what the decision is, because that decision isn't going to come from me. You know, that's going to come from, you know, the local stations.
Okay, Carol.
Carol Spooner.
Just a question about the affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
Your report says that we have 40 radio stations that hold affiliate status and 12 stations that have formally ended their affiliate station.
Right.
So status. So is that 40 minus 12? So we're at 28?
No, that would be a total of 52 stations. I think originally there were approximately 60 stations that were affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
And then some have dropped off. Those are principally college stations where there isn't necessarily the infrastructure, you know, where it's somebody's idea one year to have this, and then the next year it drops off and people forget about it.
Follow-up question then.
Sure.
Of the 40 stations that currently hold affiliate status, are they all in good standing, or rather are they currently paid up or withholding payment, or do we have any grievances outstanding with them that you're aware of?
No, I'm not aware of grievances. Joanne Meredith have talked about the affiliate statuses only because when I began inquiring into this, it's something that originally was, you know, maintaining the contracts and whatever were part of the National Programming Office. Joanne took it over because it wasn't being attended to properly, as far as she could tell, so that there wasn't, you know, the proper notification and that sort of thing. We had talked about turning it back over to the office simply because we were on the same page with it, but we've never gone about doing that. I mean, that's something that I think that in, you know, is probably not necessarily better suited, but just in the Division of Labor ought to be back in the National Programming Office, so it isn't part of a development position.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there other questions? Yes, please.
I'm rather new at this. Can you tell me, are we notified by those stations that want to end their contact with us to the reasons why? And do we have a policy of seeking to renew relation with them?
Yeah, the reason that 11 out of the 12 left that we have notice of was because of the Democracy Now! Issue of not carrying Democracy Now! The 12th station actually is several years old that they dropped out, and they dropped out simply because, you know, the Pacifica programming didn't fit into the type of programming that they want to offer, that sort of thing. I anticipate that those stations who have stated that would also come back, you know, or at least, you know, they'll certainly be pursued because they're aware of what's going on today within Pacifica.
I have a follow-up question. How do people join membership as affiliates? Do we seek out their participation, or do we just wait for them to reach out to us?
There isn't that much of a outreach as far as I know. I've talked to three or four outfits that I've been in discussion with regards to picking up Pacifica programming probably in the past 4 or 5 months. Many of the stations I think that we have been affiliates for some time and come from the community-based milieu. The biggest liability on this, and this again is something to consider down the road, is the fact that we are on the KU satellite and not on the PRSS or the NPR satellite means that we can't reach most stations. It's really a redundant facility in many respects. Just anecdotally, about 1992 or 1993, I was at an NFCB conference and was told about the idea of the KU project. And my own, and you know, people are entitled to pursue any project they want, but my own impression was, why move off Main Street, essentially, and be on something where most people aren't going to be able to make that choice on carrying you? You know, if the most carried program is Democracy Now!, it gets carried, by our standards, it can only be carried by people who have KU installation. A show that may be similar in some ways is alternative radio. Alternative radio is probably on three times as many stations because it's also distributed on PRSS. And, the reality is you want to get your programming out to as many people as you can because if we want to make a difference, we just don't want it to be like our station per se, mm-hmm. but we want to be able to reach as many possible people as we can with the programming that we're developing.
Well, what are we on?
Thank you.
What are we on?
How many?
KU or?
Yeah, we operate the KU satellite system.
Right.
And as I mentioned before, and again, these are just realistic operational considerations, and it's not a judgment on or about KU, but the reality is except for our own programming, many of the stations will opt to pick it up on the PRSS, partly because that's where all their activity is anyways. And so why have, in the daily operation, and probably Jim Bennett can speak to this a little bit better, if you could do everything from one place, you might as well do it from one place. Those are just, again, realistic considerations that as a foundation and station managers and producers, we want to consider simply because that's what we're interested in, is getting our programs out to the majority.
Brian, have you pursued XM? I know NPR is on XM and Sirius. Have you looked at that?
There's been some discussion of that a little bit. I haven't pursued it personally.
Question.
I think that realistically, we need to come up with a program schedule. And again, having discussed with XM, but what I see that they're picking up or Sirius are essentially program streams. And I could be wrong, but I don't think that they're necessarily putting together a program stream that's cherry-picked. But I think that it's worthwhile, and now that actually, I'm moving out of being, the bean counter, essentially, within the office, but also, taking on this stuff, I can look into it and find out what it is. Actually, if I recall, too, there's a fellow here in New York, I think his name's George Gantz, might be wrong, who's an engineer for Sirius, who has contacted Pacifica in the past about an interest in it, and he, kind of like the situation with Real Networks, there's just not enough follow-up. And I spoke with him before, actually, now that I recall, and again, I brought it up, but I don't think that it went anywhere, so I'll put that on the agenda, too.
Thank you. I just really want to thank Brian for a very comprehensive presentation that really called attention, I think, to several very critical issues that we obviously don't have time for today, but really need to look into.
We should point out that the reality which the board members don't seem to know about,
also,
that
I just want to pass
an overwhelming
that I got
percentage
from,
of the affiliates
Don
have dropped
Munsell, who is
Pacifica Network News in favor of free speech radio news.
On the,
there are only some 14 stations around the country, including four Pacifica stations. That carry
an update
Pacifica Network
on
news anymore.
Station technical project.
About 50
report.
Stations
so
have opted for free speech radio news.
Technical questions facing the stations. So I just want to pass it out. There's no need to discuss it now. People should read it, and obviously we'll come back to these issues. I want to move the agenda along to the affiliates.
Madam Chairperson.
Yes.
Personal privilege.
Yes.
Earlier we had this
Marion Barry.
Back and forth between a gentleman in the audience and myself, and he and I talked in the hallway. And he has an impulsive thing where he can't not talk, so he apologized and said he has to keep his hand over his mouth, literally, not to do that. So I want to thank him for doing that, so we can show that there's some civility and some humanity going on here. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah. Thank you both. Thank you very much and for sharing that with us. Yes. Oh, also, as a matter of personal privilege, our transcriber's hands need a break. So what I would suggest is that we take a break right now, that we take a 10-minute break and reconvene on the affiliates. Okay,
we'll be taking that 10-minute break with you, our listeners, here to this nationwide, apparently, broadcast. If you're listening to us anyplace and you want to get in on this conversation and discussion, our telephone number is area code 510-848-4425. That's 510-848-4425. I'm Larry Bensky, anchoring this broadcast from Berkeley, California. Radio station KPFA. As we wait your calls, I just wanted to take up one point.
Hello?
I'm sorry about that. This is M. Saidia McLaughlin, and we have been listening to a live broadcast feed from KPFA of the local advisory board being held at 305 West 44th Street in New York City. I am M. Saidia McLaughlin. I am a member of the operations department. And while the board takes a break, we're going to go to a little bit of music.
In my brain, it injures me. Anger can make you old as you can. I said anger can make you sicker. Anger destroys your soul. Rage, no room for rage in there. There's no room for rage in here.
Thank you. As prophesized, the wise woman and his woman were tempted by the resistor. He, knowing full well the wise one's love for God, assimilated the woman first and only. Quite naturally, chaos ensued, and she and five others were banished from the rainbow.
We're going to go back to 305 West 44th Street.
Ford.
On record.
For the record, that we are opposed is not the word I'm looking for.
We condemn
acts of physical or verbal intimidation and harassment and violence, both, I would suggest, at our board meetings and at the station, directed to any of our personnel, between personnel, paid and non-paid, between lab people and personnel, anywhere, and listeners within the Pacifica community, that we go on record condemning such actions, that we want to hear should any such activities take place, any such harassment or verbal or physical abuse, and that we are committed to investigating those to find out what the problem was and to take, if and when necessary, any corrective action that's needed.
I second that motion.
Will that also investigation go to what happened to board members?
Yes. It will go to everybody.
So you'll investigate what happened to me Friday night?
Yes. Right.
What happened to me Friday night?
Oh, no. Can we...
I didn't know. I just asked what happened.
What's been happening in New York is a campaign of verbal and sometimes physical violence against the dissidents, now majority in Pacifica.
Okay. Can we
and as they have done before,
hand.
The former majority is claiming that they are the oppressed in this situation.
All those in favor of that motion?
I have an amendment.
Okay, you want to modify it?
This is James Ferguson.
We'll cut him slack. Go on.
The motion is that we enter into the body of this, the notice that he gave us. The actual information that he gave us to assist in the investigation.
Okay.
They entered the letter, the part
of
the
Process and procedure, I think personnel documents such as that appears to be, I don't think should be in the public record of the board minutes. That belongs in the administration specific to be processed. Unless the writer waives all privacy as to that, I don't think that's appropriate to enter it into the minutes. And second of all, I think that insofar as it's
he said he
no,
had
no I said, and second of all, insofar as there's no refutation in the minutes, and what we're doing is opening up a process whereby one person says this happened, other people say that happened, and it goes back and forth, and we end up doing what we just hired an executive director to do, and that is to process internal issues. And I don't think
this
that
is about physical violence.
No, folks.
Look, condemning physical intimidation.
Whoa! I didn't call on anybody. I did not call on anybody to speak. But nobody has the floor.
Madam Chair, I have the floor. Actually,
okay, I'm sorry, you're right.
Because this is an account of what occurred, and I think it's important to be a part of his.
It is one accounting of what occurred. I assume there was more than one person involved in this situation. We don't have an accounting from the other person involved. That, I think, is the heart, I think, is what I heard David Furtick suggest, that to put this onto the record of this meeting without inviting or taking a statement from any other parties involved in this situation would not be fair. And is it really necessary anyway for it to be in the minutes of this meeting as a public record, given that we are about to vote on investigating and looking into and stopping all such harassment, verbal, physical harassment?
Madam Chair.
Yes, James.
At what point will we accept this as a document that will be used in an investigation.
Well, I think we can accept it right now as a document to be used. That's different than putting it into the record of the speaker.
Can I then suggest that we submit this to the new executive director?
Yes.
This document.
Okay.
That way, I think that avoids the concern that he has about putting
I see no opposition to that. That the documents that we received from our station manager in Los Angeles will be passed along.
That's already been done.
Okay, that's already been done, actually, and acted on, that this board wants it acted on swiftly. Okay, there was still the motion. Did we vote on the motion?
We voted unanimously on the motion. Do we want to vote on it again as amended? Is there any need to do that?
No, it's not. This is separate. Okay, so we're done with this item. I'd really like to move along. Before we call on the representative affiliates, I was passed a note. Yesterday, unfortunately, she did not get to speak during the public comment session from the literary agent for Mumia Abu-Jamal, who was asked by Mumia to come to briefly pass along his greetings for a constructive meeting this weekend and to let us all know, the board and everybody listening, that he was hopeful that there would be a swift return of the fired and the band, and that he's grateful for the courageous work of Amy Goodman and the Democracy Now! Staff, and looks forward to appearing live in the future on a revived Free Speech Radio.
Okay. You're listening to the Pacifica National Board meeting live from New York City. You're listening to it on KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, KPFT in Houston, and WBAI in New York.
You are listening. We are with you.
Taking place in the Union Hall on the west side of Midtown Manhattan. The chair is Leslie Kagan.
Thank you. So let's move along. There are several representatives of affiliate stations here. I don't have the order, so maybe people could just come up and introduce themselves. I believe we have, maybe there are three affiliate stations here. I'm not sure. If we get four, if everyone could be quiet. Well, we'd like to hear.
Hello, my name is Marty Gerland.
Madam Chairperson.
Yes.
Personal privilege. I have to leave, get back to Washington.
Okay.
I thought we were going to end earlier than this, so I'm leaving not out of any protest, but out of
a
schedule.
Thank you. I assume that
Marion
that's
Barry.
True for Ms. Ferguson also. And others
have to leave. I may walk out, but it's not one of them.
Thank you. Thank you, Marion.
Thank you, Marion Barry.
Thank you very much. Thank you again. Okay, so let's move along then. Again, folks, again, we appreciate the cooperation of everybody in the room. Again, speaking personally, and I hope for everybody on this board, our relationship with the affiliates is a very important part of the Pacifica family. So while we do not have the time today to really go in depth to discuss what that relationship can be and how to grow that relationship, and we at least need to hear from several of the affiliates so we get the issues on the table. So, Marty.
Hi. I'm Marty Derlin. I'm from KGNU in Boulder. We've been a Pacifica affiliate since 1986. We're one of 20 affiliate stations that went into exile with Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!
Please.
Now that Democracy Now! Is back in the Pacifica fold, this is an issue for the 20 stations in exile as well. In terms of the financial part of this picture, we have been paying Democracy Now! And also Free Speech Radio News directly. And they also have been fundraising on our air, which is, I know, not directly related to the Pacifica issue, but it is a problem for us, and we have accepted this situation because of the extraordinary circumstances of both of those programs, which we admire and we want on our air. But I just want to note that it's really not what we'd like.